I'm Ruby Ryder. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 193 on March 27th, 2018. Changing the world one asset at a time. If you enjoy and appreciate my work and you want to help me spread the word about pegging, become a patron so I can spend more time doing podcasts, answering questions, recording videos, doing all that stuff for everybody interested in pegging everywhere. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider or you can click the Support My Work button on the right-hand side of my website. There is a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, non-toxic toys, and they can be purchased from the little black dress of pleasure products, Entice Me. Just go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider, and be sure to use the coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. That's RYDER. You are going to be supporting Pegging Paradise with every little purchase you make, or every big one for that matter. All right, let's do a Patreon update. Yes. Once again, this has been a week of rocking it with the Patreon. Wow. Steven pledged $5 a month. Steven, thank you so much for your generous pledge. I so appreciate it. John pledged $3 a month. John, thank you for becoming my patron. I am most appreciative. D. Peg pledged $1 a month. D, really appreciate the support. Can't tell you how much it means to me. And Lucas Brooks pledged $1 a month. Lucas, thank you. And the reason that Lucas gets both names mentioned is because Lucas is a bit of a celebrity. Lucas was on the Ask panel years ago that I did in DC through Catalyst Con. Lucas has a blog called The Intellectual Homosexual, and Lucas is also the host of Smut Slam in Boston. I checked out what he was doing, and okay, little known fact, unless you follow Lucas on Facebook, Lucas just got the part of Puck in A Midsummer Night's Dream. Holy shit. I wish I lived near Boston, Lucas. I really, really do. So I'm going to put those links to the Smut Slam as well as the Intellectual Homosexual blog in my Linkorama if you guys want to check out Lucas. He rocks. He's an amazing guy. Okay, let's see. And I want to mention again, we've been having a lot of fun on the chat channel. It's a 24/7 chat channel that is set up through Discord, which is a common chat platform for gamers. And it's really cool because the thing is about pegging is there's so much shame and taboo. And we all know it's not something you can talk to everybody about, right? But you can on this chat channel. Everybody there is interested in pegging. As I say, they are pegging aficionados. So that's for a buck a month. You can join that 24/7 chat channel. I highly recommend it because sometimes you just want to talk about pegging. You want to talk about either fucking guys in the ass or getting fucked in the ass if you're a guy, right? So there you go. Join us there. We're having tons of fun. Okay, the next thing I want to mention is something a friend of mine sent that just blew my mind. First of all, let me set up the whole situation for you. This survey, it's kind of like a survey or a study, sort of, certainly not official, was done by a place called BespokeSurgical.com. It took me a while to look around and figure out what this guy is all about, or these guys. Basically, they have surgical offices in New York and California, and they cater to the gay community, and they do a lot of anal tag removal, anal dilation, any kind of anal surgery. And it looks like they very much cater to the gay community, which is freaking awesome. So of all people, these guys do this study to figure out which sex toys are the most popular in which states, okay? Oh my gosh, it'll blow your mind. So basically, let me read the paragraph about their methodology. To find these results, we first laid out some broad categories: butt plugs, vibrators, dildos, handcuffs, bondage gear, cock rings, male sex toys, and strap-ons. Under each broad category, we found the Google shopping search interest for specific search terms and types of toys, such as jeweled anal plugs, rabbit vibrators, wand vibrators, suction cup dildos, ball gags, floggers, and fleshlights, just to name a few. These terms and others were analyzed and averaged under the broader categories, and the toy with the highest search interest was deemed the most popular in each state or city. So, dildos were the top toy by total number of states. They had 15 states that preferred dildos. And vibrators came in at second. And let's see, vibrators had 11. So those are kind of the mainstays. Those are the classics, right? But in third place, bondage gear and butt plugs were tied with 9 states each, right? This is fucking awesome. And let's see, when you go from there, you get down to strap-ons. They are next. They're not even the last, you guys. They're not even the last. They were the most popular in 4 states. 4 states! I'm so proud. I am so fucking proud of all of you. And I know there's a whole bunch of lesbians using strap-ons out there too, but I do like to take a little bit of the credit. Why do I like to take a little bit of the credit? Because one of the states that has as its most popular sex toy a strap-on is, of course, California. So California, New York, Rhode Island, and Hawaii. Okay, so all you people out there from New York, Rhode Island, and Hawaii, virtual high five. Excellent. We put ourselves on the map of being interested in strap-on sex. It's fucking awesome. So I'm going to put a link to the whole thing. It's kind of a blog post. It's really quite interesting to read and kind of cool. And while you're there, you can take a look around at the Bespoke Surgical website. They do seem to offer quite the amazing services, and they have offices in New York as well as California. Oh, and before I leave that topic, I did want to mention, they checked out a few big cities, and of course they checked out New York and Los Angeles because that's where they have surgical offices. And in New York City, okay, the cock ring was the most common toy. And in Los Angeles, it is all about bondage gear. So I just thought that was very entertaining. Really enjoyed it. So click on those links if you want to know more. And to my friend Mark, who sent me this link and who put a note on it that said he thought that I had single-handedly tipped the scales for California. I owe you one, Mark. Thank you. All right, let's dive into your letters. This one came to me by way of my Pegging Paradise Facebook site. Hi, this is a serious question, not a way to, quote, get off. I only recently started thinking about pegging, and it's really exciting me, especially that it can be amazing for the woman, too. But I'm not great with pain. I don't even like it if I go to the loo and it hurts a little. Is it painful, and is it in any way dangerous? Thanks for your time. By the way, I live in the UK. Well, no, it should never be painful, first of all. If it's painful, then you are absolutely doing something wrong. The safety rules that you need to abide by if you're going to do any kind of anal play, and especially with strap-on, is not too big, not too fast, lots of lube, anal-safe toys only, and absolutely never, never any numbing lube, okay? And, you know, there's the nothing sharp one, but I think that's kind of a no-brainer. I do like to throw it in there for the people who just aren't thinking, why would you put something sharp up your ass? But anyway, the point being, if you adhere to those rules, then you're good. And I think the most important ones are really slow, take it very, very slow, don't go too fast, and not too big and lots of lube. Those are the basic ones, okay? But yes, it can be exquisitely pleasurable. It is not something that has to hurt the first time. I see this written on some blogs here and there about, well, it always hurts the first time. You know what? It doesn't have to. This is like the difference of going to the gym and saying, hey, no pain, no gain. And other people who say, no, I'm just going to take it easy and I'm going to go really, really gradually and I don't want to hurt. And you can absolutely do that. Same thing with pegging. You can absolutely do that. So be reassured that pain is not involved and you will not have to have pain when you go to the loo. And, you know, you probably just want to take it really, really slowly because it sounds like you might be tight in that area anyway. I did want to mention that, you know, I'm doing those beginning webinars and I'm beginning in two senses of the word. I'm beginning with webinars. I'm brand new at it and I am doing webinars on Zoom. It's a platform. And so I'm learning Zoom. And while I'm learning Zoom, I am offering these webinars for $5, people. I keep talking about this on my podcast. And coincidentally, on the 28th, I am going to be having a webinar for the people across the pond. It will be at 11 o'clock in the morning, my time, on March 28th, very specifically for people across the pond. So I'm going to send you a private message, sir, about this webinar, and hopefully you can join us because it sounds like you just really need to start learning about what the whole thing's about. And I have so much information for you that will calm your fears of it being painful. And I'm thrilled that you're interested. So hopefully you can sign up for the class and I will hear from you. I do have two other webinars scheduled, one on April 7th and one on the 12th. The one on the 7th, I believe, is for the people down under. It's scheduled for a Saturday, so that 14-hour ahead thing is going to happen on a Sunday for the people down under. So I hope to see you people there as well. And then the one on the 12th, I can't remember when that's scheduled, but once again, I'm going to put the link to the webinars in the Linkorama, but it's kind of silly to put it there, right? Because when you go to my website, it's over to the right, right there. It has the webinars right there. It also is available by clicking the drop-down tab that says Learn. And there is a link there that says Webinars. It will take you right to the page that has the ones that are currently available. So thanks for the question, sir, and good luck to you. Hope to see you in class. All right, here's something I found in the forum. Does anyone else have the fantasy of sucking a cock while getting pegged? I know for me, there's a fantasy of hooking up with a dominant couple. The wife fucks me in the ass with her big strap on while I suck the husband's fat cock. Surely I'm not the only one who fantasizes about this sort of thing. Oh, goodness, no. And this was written by Odilon on the forum. And goodness, no, you are not the only one that fantasizes about this kind of thing. I recall many instances of people writing in, especially the bisexual podcast, talking about the bisexual fantasy of being pegged and then sucking on a cock at the same time. So absolutely, this is a common fantasy amongst the bisexual men or bicurious men. And as a surprise, I'm actually going to read you a couple of paragraphs from a story I wrote about this exact theme. Okay, this is from the story called The Starbucks Surprise. Without prompting, Troy dropped to his knees and paused with his mouth in front of Andy's cock. He looked up at me, and I saw a little nervousness. I bent down and kissed him tenderly, holding his chin in my hand. I looked into his eyes, smiled, and nodded. Then I straightened up, put my hand on the back of his head, and gathered up a handful of his beautiful blonde hair. I began to very gently push him towards Andy's cock. Troy didn't need any more urging than that. I watched as he took Andy's cock into his mouth. I watched the way he used his lips, tongue, and hands, and I felt proud. I gave Troy lessons using my strap-on. He had natural skill, and every time we practiced, his cock was so hard. That's when I knew I had to make this a reality for him, for us both, truthfully. Ha ha! So that's a little teaser from my story called The Starbucks Surprise. And I know I keep talking about this, you guys, but Patreon is allowing me to do so much more than just keep these podcasts happening weekly. It's allowing me to do the webinars. It's finally giving me some space financially to get this thing really cooking. And one of the things that you get if you sign up as a patron for $3 a month is you get to all my written erotica. every story I've ever written, you get to read. And if you sign up for $5 a month, you get not only all the written erotica, you get all the audio stories as well. So there you have it. That's one more plug, and I'll shut up about it for the rest of the podcast. But I hope you enjoyed those couple of paragraphs. Okay, this is a question that came from my Pegging 101 website. Is pegging safe if your prostate is large? And this was sent in by Dan. Dan, so here's the deal. What I think that you're probably talking about is enlarged prostate, swollen prostate. That's the common names for it, and the technical name is benign prostatic hyperplasia. And it is not an infection. It is not prostate cancer. It is simply a swollen prostate. The symptoms when you have a swollen prostate are urinary systems. You have difficulty urinating and difficulty emptying your bladder completely because the swelling of the prostate squeezes the ureter tube that carries urine from the bladder out of your body because it's swollen, and that tube goes straight through the center of the prostate. So, is pegging safe if your prostate is large? If you have a swollen prostate, if you have been to your doctor and you know that it is not prostate cancer, nothing serious, and it's the swollen prostate, then prostate massage and pegging would do wonders for it. And the reason I say that with a bit of surety, is because of the Aneros devices. The Aneros prostate massage devices were designed to massage the prostate. And they did a trial with close to 200 guys, and they all had BPH, the swollen prostate. They used these devices, and they reported either a decrease in symptoms, a dramatic decrease in symptoms, and in many cases, a complete elimination of the symptoms. And I think like 96% of the guys reported this, okay? So I'm going to put a link for the Aneros device on the Linkorama as well. But yes, if you are gentle about it, because it might be a little sensitive if you have this swollen prostate. So go at it carefully, but you should be totally fine as long as you have already been screened by your doctor and you know that it is BPH and nothing more serious. Thanks for the question. Okay, this was a comment that was also left at my Pegging 101 website. And it was for the article, Where Can I Find a Woman to Peg Me? You made sense. No sex in 10 years made it uncomfortably plain that I will never get to try this. Wife doesn't want sex anymore. Gee, thanks. Mike. Oh, Mike, you sound so unhappy, and I could absolutely understand why. What I would suggest to you is to have a conversation with the wife. No matter how much you love this woman, it is not okay for her to say, you are not entitled to get your sexual needs met anymore. And I know this might seem like a radical thing to think, but I'm a firm believer that it's not okay in a relationship just to say, okay, I'm not going to have sex anymore with you, and it's too bad, and no, you can't go anywhere else, and you just have to suffer, and you have to masturbate, and too fucking bad. It's not okay to do that. And I know it's more complicated than that, because relationships have longevity. They have things invested. Emotionally, psychologically, financially, circumstantially. But at the same time, it's not okay to deny someone any outlet for their sexual needs because you are in a space of not wanting sex anymore. So I think that's a conversation that needs to happen. And if it needs to happen with a counselor, then so be it. But meanwhile, there are some wonderful toys I can recommend for you. There are some awesome suction cup dildos that you can use in the shower. There are some prostate vibrators so that you can do some self-exploration. It's not going to be the same. It's not going to be what you really want, which is the pegging part, because I get how there's a huge difference between having someone do it with you who wants to do it and how exciting and erotic that can be and doing it yourself. However, you may find some amazing thresholds of pleasure that you had no idea existed before, and it might make things easier while you are not having any sexual outlet. So that's the best advice I can give you. I'm so sorry that you have that situation, and I wish you the best of luck with it. Oh, and the toys that I would recommend are the Aneros, which I have mentioned before. If you haven't done any kind of anal play, the Aneros device is an excellent thing to kind of wake up your prostate. If you've done some playing around and you know that you have some pleasure there, The Pure Wand is an excellent toy to use for self-stimulation, and there are a number of other ones. There are some quite expensive, amazing ones like the Lalo Loki and the Lalo Loki Wave. These ones vibrate, and the wave actually has another part of it that kind of squeezes and massages from both outside and inside. I'll put the links to all of those in the Linkorama, and good luck to you, sir. Okay, here is another comment on pegging 101. Maybe I'm looking in the wrong places for pegging. Maybe I'm not asking the right women. I must have dated 50 women on Plenty of Fish, 30 on Zeusk. Every time I would start talking about pegging, they would interrupt me and say, "Not gonna happen." Then one day, I ran into an old friends with benefits who once got the sudden urge to probe my ass with a candle that was there on my nightstand. She smeared it with Vaseline and quenched the urge, but now she wouldn't even think of pegging. And this was written in by John. John, ooh, I sympathize with you. I sympathize with all the guys out there who are in search of women who are interested in this. And, you know, clearly I'm doing my best to make sure that I spread the word far and wide to as many women as possible. You know, come to think of it, John, I think I might make my webinars free for the women. That's a fabulous idea. And it all happened because you wrote in with your frustration. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to let women register for free. Interesting. Okay, so anyway, to move on, you might want to try looking at websites that have a little bit more of a sexual leaning to them. I do recall when I used to frequent Adult Friend Finder that there was an area of sexual questions to answer, and you could make your desires known there. And also on OkCupid, if you take the time to answer those questions, which is the whole point of OkCupid, there are a number of them that are all about getting pegged, receiving anal sex. And if you answer those in the right way, and you weight them heavily, because on OkCupid, what you do is you answer the question with your answer, and then it says, how important is this to you? And you say, you know, I have to have this. You know, basically, you make it the most important you can. That increases the chances that the people who you get matched up with or the people that they show you are actually going to have some interest in this sort of thing. There's also an article that I wrote, and, you know, these suggestions that I'm giving you are all available under the newbie information for men at the drop-down tab on my website. There are two articles in there, one of which is really a moot point now because of the recent passage of the SESTA-FOSTA bullshit. Basically, Craigslist took down their personal ads, so I can't direct you there anymore because there was one article written about a guy who found success finding a dominant woman. Now, you don't say dominant, and that's an important distinction. But certainly he was looking for pegging as well, and he found a dominant woman to peg him off of Craigslist. But anyway, that's the moot point because Craigslist personals don't exist anymore. However, there is also a blog entry written by a friend of mine, and basically he talks about how this is how he gets them from vanilla to pegger, right, over time. So perhaps it isn't good to sit down with a date and start talking to them about, I'm really into pegging, right off the bat. I know that when Dan Savage talks about it, he talks about, you know, if you're kinky, what you need to do first is show your partner that you can do vanilla sex, you know, take them for a spin and have some sex, and then gently start introducing the idea of different stuff. And that's when you find out if they're kinky or not. Now, it sounds like a big investment of time. However, what it also sounds like is that if you don't do it that way and you just sit them down and like your first lunch, your first meeting, whatever, and you start talking about pegging, you're scaring women off. There are a number of women out there who would be interested in pegging if they were approached the right way. But when they are approached with more of a focus only on pegging, that's when they back off, because I've said it many times in my podcast, what that feels like is it's a fetish delivery service, that you're only interested in me because you know that I will fuck you, right? So that doesn't feel good at all. But that's the best advice I have to give you, and good luck to you. If you find anything that works, let us know how it happened. Okay. A couple of podcasts ago, somebody was asking about loop shooters, and I did a little research, and I didn't spend much time on it, and I found some loop shooter syringes that you could use, because the pre-filled loop shooters have crap lube in them, so I don't recommend that you use them. So I just spent a little bit of time looking for syringes that were empty that you could buy, and a lovely man named Steve did some research for me. He actually wrote me twice, and the first time he wrote me, and these were syringes that were plastic with a round end on them. And he gave me the link for those, and I wrote back saying, those look awesome, but they're disposable, and it would be cool if we could find something that wasn't disposable so that, you know, you could use it over and over and over again. If you're going to be keep using this, why have it be a consumable? Why not get something, you know, that you can have forever? And bless your heart, Steve, you did the research for me. This is what I like about throwing these questions out there to the hive mind. Well, this time Steve turned out to be the hive mind for me, and he found a stainless steel version with removable nozzles for easy cleaning. And this is off of Amazon. It's called the Master Grease Stainless Steel Launcher. I love how it's not a shooter anymore, it's a launcher. I totally love that. Steve, thank you so much. And he signed off on his message, lubing the world one ass at a time. Clever. Loving it. Clever. Thank you so much, Steve. Everybody who's interested in that, you will also find that link in the Linkoram as well. Okay, so after all that, I should have clicked on the link going to Amazon, because Steve, although it's a fabulous idea about those stainless steel loop shooters, what I found out when I read the reviews was that they're really poorly made, people complain about them. So then I started doing more research, trying to find a really good quality stainless steel loop shooter. But then I was looking at the tips and thinking, you know, these are meant for cleaning out your ears. They're maybe not the best for anal. So actually I went back to the plastic ones, and I found a good quality one, reusable plastic with a rounded end that has all kinds of good reviews. It is still called a launcher. And that is what the link is going to be, that is going to be in the Linkorama. So Steve, I appreciate all your work, and together we figured it out. Okay, here's my next letter. Several podcasts ago, a listener with a very large dildo of questionable material was looking for extra-large condoms to cover the toy. I couldn't find the exact episode to reference, but for that listener and all listeners who use condoms, whether for toys or penises, I offer this product line as a great option. And it's myonecondoms.com. And he goes on to say, due to changes in family planning practices in my household, it became necessary for me to start using condoms during PIV with my wife. I have always hated using condoms for many reasons I will not get into. Frustrated by the standard retail options, I stumbled upon My One while researching condom sizes online. I found them before they even came on the market and had to wait several months before placing my first order. This line of products has improved my experience with condoms drastically. It has almost been fun trying out various sizes to dial in my perfect fit. There are 60 different sizes of many lengths and diameters, and it was kind of fun printing out and using their fit kit to see how I measured up. Ordering online for home delivery is so easy. You can even sign up for a regular subscription at a slight discount, so you don't need to remember to order more. I feel it is worth sharing to your listeners who could use customized protection for their toys and penises. Happy spring. And this is from Drew. Drew, this is so cool because I ran into this company several years back. At that time, they were only in the UK. And they couldn't ship directly to the United States because of our FDA, blah, blah, blah. And what they were doing was kind of a workaround thing where you could send it to this place that would then send it to you. And it's not really technically what you're supposed to be doing, but I did get some. Sadly, the person I got them for, that whole thing canceled, and so I never ended up using them. But I was fascinated by not only how many sizes there were, but by the reviews. That's what really brought me in and hooked me in. So I am delighted to find out that they are now selling by mail to the U.S. The reviews were amazing, and basically they all say the same thing over and over and over again. If you have a condom that fits really correctly, if you have one that fits right, and I think they're also quite thin, if I remember, in terms of sensitivity. You know, the thickness of the condom is not that thick. Anyway, the point is that if you have one that fits correctly, that it's almost like it's not there, that it's so much of a better experience than the vast majority of condoms available here. And also because guys don't really know how to fit condoms a lot of times. They just sort of go, I think I'm this. For example, the guy that I was ordering those condoms for, he'd been using regular condoms. We got together one time and he put this condom on and good God, it was choking the hell out of it. He had a pretty sizable cock and it was like it would fit halfway down. And I said, what are you doing with that? You're not even using a Magnum. So, yes, that was the funny thing that led me to find my one condom. So there you go. I really appreciate this link. It'll be in the Linkorama for everybody. Go get some condoms, everybody, for your toys and your penises. Okay, this is a letter that I got that somehow got lost. I have spam filters, and this apparently got caught in the spam filter. Regardless, I found it, and it's back from February. Hey, Ruby, I've been listening to the podcast for some time now. Unfortunately, the kink of pegging that I am into must be completely hidden and kept secret. I am writing this to gain closure on one of the most erotic things I've ever experienced as a heterosexual man. Shortly after graduating from high school, I met and began dating a Chinese girl. She was my first and only second-generation Asian girlfriend. I only mention her ethnicity because I feel as though it adds an important detail to the story. This girl was very sexually repressed. Growing up in a traditional Chinese household, her mother was domineering and strict, not allowing her to make mistakes or explore her sexuality with boys her age. We were both around the age of 18 when we started dating, and I had had multiple sex partners by the time we met. Much to her mother's unknown disappointment, so had she. Our relationship began long distance and over the phone. We were both focused on college, but seemed to always make time for sexy conversations. We would often speak openly about our sexual fantasies to one another. One fantasy I always had was to be dominated by a gorgeous woman. She was the first woman I ever met that showed any real interest in this, and the mere thought of this made me hard, often, throughout the day, when I would daydream about what she had planned for me. Her and I were both new to this, however, and we had to speak specifically about what we wanted and what we were okay with. I'm a tall man, standing at 6'5", and she was rather petite, standing at only 5'4" or so. The height difference made the power dynamic even hotter in our relationship. She loved being fucked by me, and I desperately wanted to be fucked with a strap-on by her. I had never shared this fantasy with anyone before, because I feared the typical bullshit of, oh, what if he's gay? After our play had progressed from hard spanking and verbal humiliation to her putting a whole bag of clothespins on my cock and balls, parentheses, my suggestion, she began to get even more creative about how to humiliate me. Once she took me to a salon to have my eyebrows waxed, as she threatened to take pictures and share them with her friends. She enjoyed watching me in pain, which was the biggest turn-on I could imagine at the time. Even though there wasn't anything obviously sexual about this, the dominance factor was always at play in our relationship. I was her, quote, little bitch, and I loved doing anything she told me to do. One day, during a long-distance phone call, I finally got up the courage to take a deep breath and tell her about my secret fantasy of being pegged. To my absolute shock, the phone went completely silent for a moment, and a feeling of paranoia set in. Thoughts of panic and dread ran through my head as I questioned whether she would break up with me for being gay, and also that she might tell her friends about it. To my surprise, she actually agreed to it. To this day, I don't know what she actually said, probably because I was so horny I was about to explode, and also because I was so relieved by her response. I was to visit her at her dorm room 2 weeks after this conversation, and it was my responsibility to purchase the equipment. I ordered the Tantus Bend Over Beginner Kit that came with two purple dildos and a sexy purple velvet harness. I was in college at the time and didn't make very much money, so this was pretty much all I could afford. When the weekend finally arrived, I drove 3 to 4 hours to see her in her dorm. She had one female roommate at the time that was quite the party girl and never usually stayed at the dorm. The very thought of her roommate showing up unexpectedly while we were in the middle of a full-blown pegging session was even more of a turn-on for some reason. Living a life of fear about exposure, but also being sexually aroused by female humiliation is a strange juxtaposition, I suppose. After I finally arrived and entered her dorm room, we hugged and chit-chatted for a few moments. We were both so aroused, I don't think either one of us could think straight or keep our hands off one another. I wanted to get right down to business because I couldn't wait to experience something I had only ever seen in porn. This night was all about me, and I had already adjusted and prepared the strap-on in the harness to a fit that I thought would work for her petite frame. I sat in her bed, watching her as she stepped into the harness. Completely naked, with her nipples fully erect, she pulled the harness up over her hips and tightened the straps the best she could. I helped tighten the straps that were in the back beyond her reach. I'd never seen such a sexy sight in real life, her standing there with her purple cock jutting out in front of her for the first time for either of us. My fantasy was always to be fucked from behind with a strap on because I always found this to be the most submissive position I could take. What I hadn't realized is just how much our height difference would mess that up. She had a desk bar that ran along the side of the back of her dorm, and there was a window that provided an awesome view of the campus at night. I chose to bend over at the waist with my elbows on the desk as I gazed outward at the scenery. She sauntered up behind me, full of sexy confidence. She'd lubed up the cock, but we hadn't done any warm-up or preparation because I was so new to this, I didn't know you needed to. She rubbed the head of the purple cock around the edges of my asshole, and I shuddered, feeling very cold all of a sudden. I was completely naked and very hard at the time. She grabbed my hips with both hands and then pressed the purple cock slowly into my ass, and I gasped, feeling a warm wave of ecstasy pour over my entire body from head to toe. It wasn't painful, but I did feel incredibly vulnerable for the first time during sex. I wondered to myself if that was what it felt like when I would penetrate the girls I would date. The learning curve was about as steep as the height differential, and we quickly realized that this position was not sustainable. Naturally, like the pros that we weren't, we moved to the bed and she ordered me to get on my knees. She scooted up gently behind me as I laid on my chest with my ass up, fully available for her to take. She slid the cock in again, and this time she really was able to get going. She began pounding my ass vigorously, as I began to moan intensely, feeling things that I couldn't even describe. I wasn't touching my cock at this time, but rather enjoying the full sensation of what was going on. When I felt the need to come, she was gracious enough to allow me to roll onto my back. She took my long legs and rested them on her shoulders, like a champ, and continued fucking me while looking at me directly in the eyes. She said, "Do you like that, you little bitch, taking my cock?" She had a sadistic smirk on her face. She allowed me to jack off, and I came all over myself with an orgasm that was so intense that I almost felt like I would pass out. For the rest of the weekend, I focused only on pleasuring her, which is what she commanded me to do. I was her sex slave and had to pleasure her with my mouth or cock however many times she wanted me to. No complaints from me, laugh out loud. This certainly wasn't the last time we pegged, as it became a natural part of our sex lives with each other. At a certain point, she even allowed me to penetrate her anally from behind while we both watched in front of a bathroom mirror. We had many firsts, including her rimming my ass for the first time, and us even switching clothes once when we were at her place. I'd never worn women's clothing before. I just wanted to see what all the rage was about. She offered me some clothes that were hers, but more comfortable and masculine for me to try on. I insisted that it had to be a pair of her thong panties and a short jean skirt with a normal top of some kind. She obliged this request and never judged me for any of my sexual desires. The strength of our relationship was that we never judged each other's sexual wants. But unfortunately, the other aspects of our relationship were very unhealthy. We fought quite a bit, and eventually we had to call it off. Sadly, this relationship was the first and last that I was able to explore many of these fantasies in. I'm now happily married to a different woman and have great children with her. I'm very happy in my relationship with her, and our sex life is great, but much more of the vanilla variety in terms of kink. She will occasionally spank me during sex, put clothespins on my balls while I jack off to completion, and there are times when she enjoys me lightly choking her during intercourse. She prefers me to be the dominant in the bedroom and is very uncomfortable with me showing a submissive side to her. She has no interest in being sexually dominant, and I totally respect that. She was raised with a very judgmental view of homosexuality and even raised to be afraid of sex. She grew up in the church. I was her first sexual partner, and I take pride in being the only one she has ever been with. I've brought up the idea of pegging with her on several occasions, and each time she gives the same resounding no for an answer. I, too, have morals, loyalty, and honor in terms of my relationship with her, and would never consider going outside of the marriage to see a pro or just another woman. I know this letter has been long-winded, but I wanted to share all of this with you because I feel that our stories are somewhat similar. I can't think of a better honor than you reading this letter on your show, but I totally understand if it's too long to share. Feel free to share a part of the whole thing if you choose. You're the only one I can be truly honest with about a craving for strap-on cock that has never truly gone away. Thank you for what you do, because you make men like me feel as though they are not alone. For now, my desire must remain in fantasy land, which I am okay with. Just know that you make each of us men feel a little more human inside because of what you do. For the sake of others like me, please keep it up. Lots of love and admiration. Smutboy42. Wow. When I found that, I was blown away, and I was even more sad that it got caught in my spam filter because it's such a well-written letter. Thank you so much for sending this in. And it, of course, tugs at my heart. And the first thing I want to do is fix it. The first thing I want to do is tell you in between things that you can do with your wife. You mentioned that it's mostly vanilla sex, but if it was mostly vanilla, she wouldn't be spanking you and putting clothespins on your balls, dude. So I do have a couple of suggestions. And if you decide to ignore these and throw them in the trash can, then that's totally fine, clearly. I only offer them because I really like to look at situations like this as not black and white. Okay, she has said that she won't peg you, but that doesn't mean that you can't interject some other kind of anal play in your sexy times, which might be at least a little more satisfying for you because you do have these anal cravings, right? I know what you really want is to be pounded and dominated like you did with that partner that the story was about. However, with your wife, consider wearing a butt plug while you are fucking her. Or consider being the dominant one, ordering her around, and ordering her to use a butt plug and kind of fuck your ass with it, maybe while you've got the clothespins on it, right? Sometimes I find that the defining line between women who have reluctance but seem like they might be into it is that they just don't want to strap it on. It's too weird. It's too close to being gay. Those are the things that go through their head, I think. So if she's only holding something with her hand, maybe it's not that big of a deal. You may have to keep the dominant personality and order her to do this and kind of keep hold of that verbally, if you will, keep the attitude of being dominant. And I mean, I don't know, things went through my head like you could be have your hand on her throat and likely choking her, and so you fuck me with that plug, you know, or what have you. I don't know how you guys talk with each other, but I'm thinking that that might be something that might work. Of course, ideally, I would like to see you get pegged again eventually. And that would be when podcast number 112 comes into play. But I have to say that when I read your letter, one of the first things I was thinking is what I often recommend to guys who are dominant and their partners don't want to see them being submissive. And you could tie her to the bed with the harness on and ride her. You could have a leash and a collar on her, and she could be behind you, and you could be timing the thrust of that dildo with you pulling on her leash and collar. So I don't even know if any of these are a possibility for you two, but I just want to throw some ideas out there. The story was fabulous. The story was amazing. It sounds like you had such a good time. And I'm so happy for you that you are so happy right now. And I just wanted to offer those little suggestions in case you think there's a possibility that that might work. Nonetheless, I heard you loud and clear when you said you wanted to bring closure to this. That was one of the first things you said in your message. So thank you for the letter and especially what you wrote at the end. I do this largely so that the men out there that have these cravings don't feel alone, so that they know there's nothing wrong with them, it's totally natural, and try and give some information about exactly how to experience these things, how to talk to your partner. So I'm glad you found my offerings helpful. I got a little teary when I read that last line. Just know that you make each of us men feel a little more human inside because of what you do. For the sake of others like me, please keep it up. I absolutely will, smut boy. Thank you for the letter. Thank you so much. Okay. So this is something I found languishing in the forum for almost a month. This is ridiculous. I apologize for not seeing this. It's short. Has anyone ever used a blow-up doll for solo pegging? And this was written by, I love this title, Dr. Latex McPagan. Gotta love that. So here's my first question. How does that work exactly? Solo pegging, because, and so here's the misconceptions I have, probably have about blow-up dolls. I know that there probably are a variety of different quality of blow-up dolls. The only one I've seen are really cheap. And one of the only ways that I could picture the pegging thing was cowboy position, where you put the harness and dildo on the doll and then ride it. But, you know, all of the dolls I've seen are basically not made well enough to hold weight. They would pop, basically. I think I've only seen the jokey ones that are really bad quality, right? But I'm just wondering, what's the positions? I'm fascinated by this. How does it work exactly? And what it brought to mind was not a blow-up doll, but a doll of a very, very different quality. Very expensive doll made by this guy that I met at Body Storytelling one time and actually saw one of his dolls there. And the name of his company is called Synthetics.com, but it's spelled S-I-N, Synthetics, right? And basically what they make are custom, amazingly realistic quality silicone dolls, male and female. And they are pretty much at the top of the price range in terms of if you want to get a doll to play with. I'm sure they have amazing features that are totally worth this. But silicone is pricey to work with, and these dolls are pricey. The female doll starts at $6,400, and the male doll starts at $6,750. When I read that, the very first thing I thought is what? Why are they more expensive? You know, is the cock that big? I swear to God, that's what I thought. I don't know why they're more expensive, but that's the base price. And so then I started thinking about some of the people that have written in about having bi-curious fantasies, right? Exactly like the letter that I read earlier about giving a blowjob while you are getting fucked. And if you don't want to go outside your relationship and you have no desire to bring a third in, which is totally fine and up to each and every couple that thinks about these things, a doll could be fucking awesome, right? They have an amazing amount of upgrades, including real hair, okay? The thing that blew my mind is because I kind of got lost in this website for a little bit. It's either human hair or yak hair, depending on the consistency that the person requests. I mean, we're talking custom made. So clearly that link is going to be in the Linkorama, and I suggest you go take a look because it's just freaking fascinating. It totally is. And I remember that when I saw this doll, he brought one of them to Body Storytelling and had a table off to the side, right? And you go over there and touch this thing and it'll just blow your mind. It's this ultra soft silicone. And so does it feel lifelike? Maybe not quite, but it feels a whole lot more realistic than any other doll I've ever felt. And I mean, literally, you can take your fingers and put them in the pussy or the ass. I mean, you know, otherwise, why would a person pay this much to have one made? It's fascinating. And you can have one totally, totally custom made to a picture. That verges on the little bit of creepy, I have to say, in my mind, not for everybody. Maybe it's because I was just introduced to the TV program. I think it's an HBO program called Westworld. Holy crap. And so, yeah, it was a little creepy. Which, by the way, is a very, very interesting series. And Anthony Hopkins does a great job in it. And it's basically about a place that they create with a whole bunch of robots that are kind of human in a whole lot of ways. And it's like a fantasy park for people to come to and experience their sexual and or violent or whatever desires. And what happens, basically. I think they're working on a second season. I just watched the first and my mind is blown. So that was in the back of my mind when I looked at this synthetics thing, right? You could have a doll made that is a very close replica of a picture. And I think that custom one is like $25,000 to do like a total replica job because it's a custom job. Anyway, it fascinated me. I am still fascinated, sir, who had this question as to how you work it with the blow-up doll. So enlighten me. And thanks for putting that question up on the forum. Sorry it took me a while to get to it. I have one more for you, and this is a follow-up from someone who wrote in on the Crossdressers podcast. And this is a person who described themselves as being gender fluid. And as a reminder, I'm just going to read their answer to the last question. Do you have support from a partner, friends, or family? And again, this is about the crossdressers. Friends, yes. And when I have dated, my partners loved it about me. Family is another story. Despite being liberal and very in favor of freedom for people like me, that does not extend to me. I am thinking I will just come out at dinner this holiday when I have my family together and let my family know that I love them. So that's a reminder as to who we're talking about. They sent in this contribution for the Crossdressers podcast, and I heard back from them. As a quick follow-up, I did come out to family as gender fluid and then got the heck out of the immediate vicinity. My sibling and their partner were fine with it and supportive of me, appreciating how hard it is, especially for me with the sibling, because I used to get teased and picked on for being a sissy. I prefer to think of myself as a vixen, but whatever. My widowed parent has tried to address me more with masculine terms, and it is not a subtle nudge to my gender. It's not helpful, it's just annoying. I realize that I obscured too many details in my previous letter, so here are some more details you can add if you want. For my early days of exploring gender expression and breaking the binary, I was in middle school when I painted my nails for the first time. I kind of loved it, but it got all this negative attention because it was 1997 in suburban Ohio, enough said. I remember one time being called my sibling's sister because my hair had grown out to a more feminine length and I had no beard and was a cute kid. Honestly, I should have rolled with it, knowing what I do now, but I was trying so hard to conform that I got upset because I didn't want to give my sibling something to use as ammo for later bullying. This is why I say the worst part about cross-dressing is the haters. If I had a less toxic environment for things, I would have loved it and been fine with being called whatever gender the person read me as, and the lack of stress would have been better for my young body and adolescent mind. As it was, I graduated high school with the start of complex PTSD that got worse over the next decade. Once I was in college and in a situation sans roommates, I said, fuck it, and just started with my first skirts and anal toys. Foolishly, I went to Adam and Eve, and being Pennywise and Pound Foolish, I got toys that were not body safe. My first experiment had been with a small candle about an inch in diameter, no lube, just some lotion. But skirts were a different matter. At first, I got kilts and painted my nails black. Then I got a rainbow tie-dye skirt, and it was the first real skirt that I could wear out. I remember loving it as I ran around at the Universal Unitarian Church, where I bought it from a crafter who recycled clothing. When my widowed parents saw me in it, they kept exclaiming no over and over, no matter what I said, even interrupting me mid-sentence. This parent is a liberal who knows trans and non-binary folks and advocates their inclusion. This is someone who back in the 60s in Michigan studied subjects which were considered not suitable for their gender and who played in the manner of the opposite sex for their time. Anyway, it was shortly after graduating college that I first met people who were trans and proud. I began looking up terms to help me understand, and as I was resting one night after work, I read the description of the term gender fluid, and my eyes watered. It was so clear. Reflecting on my life at 27 years old, I finally knew what I was without fear of somehow destroying myself. Although a lot of people have abused me for it over the years, I've been proud to be who and what I am, because I know they're wrong to hate me. I have found that the best way to burn them is by wearing perfectly androgynous clothing right in front of them, looking great, and knowing that it is from the women's section. A pair of dress slacks or a cute top can be from anywhere. Please find attached 2 photos from this holiday just before I came out. I'm wearing a bit of lovely makeup and a fun holiday thermal shirt with jackalopes on it. And of course, a black Santa hat that says naughty. Thanks for the great podcast. It was great to read about how much people love everything from stockings, bras, and panties to makeup and dresses, and how many different identities still like to pop on a frock for fun and frolic. So, I found that stuck away as well. I try so hard to keep up with all of these things that everybody sends me, and this one is a little bit older too, or I would have read it right after the Crossdressers podcast, but I'm glad I found it now. And thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Once again, the extent to which you people who write in share your stories astounds me. I am happy to be a platform where these things can be shared. I've said it before and I'll say it again. What changes hearts and minds, what changes them, is personal stories. So people thinking about getting fucked in the ass is weird. You hear the personal stories about what happens to some people and how it happens and how much they like it and how it changes their relationships. And it comes from a personal, first-person experience telling your story that can change people's attitudes about it. Same thing here with cross-dressing. That's what delights me about diving into some of these attached kinks that are attached to pegging a little bit, because it can change things. If you listen to that podcast, because it's not all about, oh, this is so fun to do the makeup and the clothes. Sure, there's parts of that, and there's parts that are erotic and awesome and exciting. But there's also the struggle. And I get that in this letter, clearly. The struggle in being exactly who you are. Exactly who you are. I support you 100%. Absolutely. The gender fluid is a whole new thing, the non-binary, and I'm trying to get used to it with my pronouns. I try to address you as them, you know, as opposed to choosing a gender. I'm learning that this is more respectful to people who identify as gender fluid. So once again, thank you so much for that update. Congratulations for coming out. I hope things have gotten a little bit smoother, but as you know, as much as I hope that, I hope that your shoulders are a little bit lower, and I hope that you are feeling more like you than you ever have. Congratulations on the coming out. Thanks for writing back. I'm going to leave it there. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blogs, my podcasts, my erotica, and the forum, or pegging101.com, where you can find informational articles only without the kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, check out my Facebook page. And if you end up ordering any of those wonderful new toys from enticeme.com, remember to use the coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too benign, too bothersome, or too banal. Many listeners will learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everyone. You rock. Happy pegging.